Hey, thanks for suffering through this episode of Car Talk. And you probably know my brother and I have always been the poster children for male answer syndrome. That is, giving an answer and making it sound absolutely definitive, whether you know what we're talking about or not. Mostly not, of course. But NPR also has a podcast where two very funny guys from the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me staff try to get real answers about stuff. It's Mike and Ian on How to Do Everything. It's worth a listen. Check out How to Do Everything now at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. We'd like to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Since you're listening to Car Talk, chances are at some point you'll be thinking about new tires. If you couldn't hear what I just said over the road noise your old tires are making, you might want to think about new tires right now. At TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, will be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford department here at Car Talk Plaza.
And it comes out so clearly. This is brilliant, actually. This is the Washington Post did this. I'll just read from Gene Weingarten, who wrote the thing, said, "Continuing our exploration of gender differences in humor, feminism expert Gina Barreca and I today present a serial short story. I wrote the first paragraph, Gina took the second one, I did the third, etc." Got it?
I'm ready.
So the first one is by Gene. Not Gina, but Eugene. Chisholm groaned himself awake, his head rolling slow and ugly, like a cement mixer with thudding slop inside. He grabbed his gat from a dresser drawer, filled it with bye-bye pills, set his fedora at an angle he hoped was cocky, and went out into the sneer of a morning sun that didn't give a crap about has-been private dicks blowing their one last shot at a big payday. Good, huh?
Very masculine.
Paragraph two. Gina Barreca. The scent of lavender wafted... Even my voice changed. The scent of lavender wafted down the tree-lined street as Jake lifted his tired, importuning eyes to the sky. Jake allowed himself for the first time in many months to remember Rebecca, the girl he loved 20 years before when he was in his first blush of youth. After all these years, he still hungered for her, for the embrace that welcomed his sharp edges and softened them with selflessness. Where was she now? Shouldn't that be the most important case on his agenda? Next paragraph.
This is Eugene again.
Nah. The best paragraph in the thing. Shouldn't she be the most important case on his agenda? Nah.
End the paragraph.
That's far enough. I don't have to go any further, do I?
It's a sufficient demonstration.
It does go on. If you want to look at the whole thing, it will be on our website, cartalk.com. But I want to congratulate Gene Weingarten and Gina Barreca. Man.
Well, if you've got a story about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim calling from Albion, California.
Albion?
Albion, California.
Albion, California. Where will you be? Now, there aren't many people who know where Albion, California is.
I'm
one of them.
There are a couple of people who aren't quite sure.
But I have a feeling I've been in Albion, California.
Well, it's a blink and you miss a town of about 400 people, about 3 hours north of San Francisco.
Never been there.
On the coast.
What's the nature of your call?
Well, my problem is that I'm driving a car whose exhaust has become a public health hazard. It's an 88 Dodge Caravan with a 3-liter V6 and about 145,000 miles on it, and it's belching a bluish white smoke.
Oh yeah.
Especially after it's been idling for a minute or so,
Jim.
It's been doing this for a while, but now it's to the point where people actually come up to us after we've parallel parked or something to lecture us about what we're doing to the environment.
109,000 miles. Is that what you have on it?
145,000.
Who said that?
He said that.
Get out. I've really got to start paying attention.
You can't keep reading Uncle John's bathroom reader during the show. That's like driving and reading the maps. Come on, pay attention here. Jim's got a problem. Yeah. So
we've had a couple of dealers tell us that that particular engine developed some kind of like valve guide problem over time, and they won about $1,000 to fix it. And our problem is that we've already put a lot of money into the car over the last year, like a transmission rebuild and new timing belt and tie rods and new front axles. Yeah. And we're wondering what the chances are of having this valve guide job done and then finding out that we also need new rings or something like that.
Well, very good. There's a good chance.
I mean, the probability is almost one that after they do this, they're going to say you need rings.
And, so you can make a preemptive strike by doing the rings and the valve guides at the same time.
Right. Instead of spending $1,000, you can spend three.
Now, we have since bought a new car, and the van has been kind of relegated to, like, beach and dump duties.
Mm-hmm.
Can we expect it to get worse? Can we drive it like this if we're willing to, you know, endure the scorn?
I mean, it's probably as bad as it's going to get, as far as you can perceive. You know, it might be burning instead of a quart a week, it might go to 2 quarts a week, but the amount of smoke will be pretty much the same.
Oh, yeah, it's hardly...
It can't get any denser.
It's hard to discriminate between 1 and 2 quarts a week, and you're right. I mean, it's a matter of how long can you put up with the scorn and derision and the little kids sticking their tongues out at you and little old ladies admonishing you in the street.
Well, you know, I mean, you could obviously choose to put a used engine into it. You could go to a wrecking yard and find one of these engines, because they've been the same for years, that had like 45,000 miles on it instead of 145,000.
You should be so lucky.
And you could probably buy the engine for $700 or $800 and have somebody put it in for half of that.
Oh, that's intriguing.
Sure.
I was going to suggest if you before you did the used route, you pop the heads off, you do the valve guides, and while the heads are off, you take the pistons out and you throw a set of rings in it without doing anything else. No bearings, no nothing else, no oil pump. Just a set of rings and slap it together.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think that might do the trick for you.
Okay.
And try going to the dump, like, at night. I mean, when everyone's asleep.
Yeah.
That's when I blow my leaves around. And my brother caught me the night he came over to visit.
I caught him the other night. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I happen to pull up in front of his house. And he's out there in the middle of the street, pitch black. And he's blowing leaves across the street to his neighbor's yard. So help me. I saw some vision in the headlights. I said, what the heck is that?
And I froze, just like a deer would.
Just like a deer. He thought it was a neighbor coming home.
I said, oh!
He was sharing compost.
Exactly. He didn't have as many leaves as I had. I thought he probably wanted some.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good luck, Jim.
Thank you very much.
See you
Love
later.
Love your program.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Therese from Waterville, Maine.
Therese.
Hi.
So what's on your mind, Therese?
Well, I have a 1981 Mercedes wagon, a 300 TD, and it's got 180,000 miles on it. But the thing is that the brakes squeal. They make so much noise, and we had new brakes done about 6 months ago. You know, the front, the rear, we had shocks, struts, and my husband says, you know, cars squeak. You know, they squeal. You know, the brakes do that. But he's had like 67 cars, and I've had about 20 with him. None of the others squeaked. None of them, you know, I mean, people turn around, you know, and it's embarrassing, you know.
Well, I mean
you're driving in a Mercedes, and then everybody turns around and is, you know, looking at you. What is that noise?
It's like an early warning system. They know you're coming long before they can see you.
Yeah. It's a safety feature that only Mercedes has.
Now, judging from the age of this car,
yeah,
you didn't have this brake work done at the Mercedes dealer.
No, I didn't.
In fact, you may not even have a Mercedes dealer up in
probably
East Tree Trunk, Maine.
No, we did it down south.
Yeah. And you went, I don't want to guess where you went, but you may have gone to just your local gas station. Is that right?
No, it's a guy that works on cars all the time.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good.
He's not like a plumber or anything, a gas fitter or something like that.
Well, yeah. He probably didn't use the right hardware, and he certainly didn't use genuine Mercedes pads.
Really?
Yeah, well, those are all factors. I mean, it doesn't mean that the brakes don't work as well.
They work.
I'm sure the thing stops as well as it ever has.
Right.
Perhaps.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah,
it might. And but if you want the noises to go away, you're going to have to get all the hardware and the shims and all that stuff that the Mercedes company designed for this braking system. When you put all that stuff in there, the noises will go away. And you might be able to buy it all for $50.
Did you go back to the guy who put the brakes in and tell him about your problem?
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, he said that all brakes squeal too,
okay.
Right?
That's what, that was my question.
Oh, I know. I went
out
with his wife.
Don't bother going back to him then.
No.
Because I was just trying to decide whether you should go back to him and have him take another shot at it or
right.
Go someplace else, and it's clear that you don't want to go back
well,
to him.
Well, if you do
that's his attitude.
Well,
because he's got an attitude, you know what I mean?
It may be, in fact, that he doesn't know of the existence of these shims or the availability of them, and you might want to enlighten him.
He's probably making his own pads in the back of the shop.
Right.
You know, say, what's so hard about it?
Go back, tell him you talk to us. But, no, you don't have to tell him you talk. Tell him you talk to somebody.
Right.
Well, you read an article in Popular Science.
Yeah.
And in this article, they described the problem.
The very problem. You said, I couldn't believe it. It was like they had read my mind. The problem, the symptoms were exactly the same as what my car is doing. And here's what they said, hardware, original equipment stuff and all that.
The shims, the special paste and all that, all
right.
Available from the Mercedes dealer, and volunteer to buy the stuff if he'll install it for free. And when he does, the noise will go away.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
No kidding.
And
so,
while you're at it, tell your husband that he's nuts.
Thank you.
See you, Therese.
She probably tells him that every day anyway.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Brian calling from Harrisonville, Kentucky.
Hi, Brian.
Brian with an I or a Y?
Brian with an I.
Harrisonburg, Kentucky.
No, Harrisonville.
Harrisonville. Listen up.
Next
listen
to Harrisonburg?
Up. It's
no,
right
no.
Next door.
Harrisonville. Okay.
What's up, Brian with an I?
I have a question about driving. The intellectual and emotional aspects of merging in a construction area.
Oh, intellectual. Let me write this down. Intellectual and emotional. What, this is a subject of a paper.
Could be.
Are you a college professor?
No, gosh, no.
You should be.
Would you like to be?
No, thank you.
What do you do?
I am a tobacco farmer and certified financial planner.
Really?
I don't want to make the link. I am not going to make the link there.
Okay.
But I'm working on it.
I see it, but I don't want to discuss it. Intellectual and emotional aspects of merging.
Right.
Give us the question. We'll see if we can.
Okay. So the situation is that in construction areas, when a lane is closed off,
right,
and you're merging from three lanes to two or whatever,
uh-huh,
frequently there is a long open space in the lane that is going to be closed.
Yeah, I know the question.
I know the question.
Okay.
And isn't it always the jerks with the Saabs and the BMWs who fire their cars up that lane and then bully somebody into letting them in?
Yeah.
Well, I'm one of the people that believes it's best to use the left lane because intellectually it seems like that would, if you use the left lane longer, that would smooth the merging of the traffic.
Right, but I'm not sure
of that.
From an egalitarian point of view, you are cutting off those people who have who've queued up and are 400 cars in line, and you've scooted past them, and you're going to get to the back to the three lanes again long before that poor guy who's driving his Chevy Chevette.
Right.
See, I've given a lot of thought to this. I have to admit that I had a confrontation once on this very issue.
Yeah.
Was the guy driving a Saab?
No.
BMW.
BMW. And
by the way, Brian, what do you drive?
Dodge Ram 2500 4x4.
Oh, so you can go wherever you want.
You have the right of way anyway. No, I mean, there is a situation much like this here in the Boston area. When you come off of Route 93 in Medford, one of the suburbs of Boston, there is a place where it converges to a one-lane road from the exit ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're getting from the four-lane highway onto the one-lane road, there is a place where we have to merge into one lane. Typically what happens is there is, at the end of which, by the way, is a traffic light. So it frequently comes to a stop. So if you're coming along on this exit ramp, you will see a long line of cars, and next to it, what appears to be an empty lane with nobody in it.
Right.
But It's obvious because unless you were there for the very coming there for the very first time and didn't know that there was a merge up ahead, then you would be justified in taking that right-hand lane and then saying, oops, it ends here, I've got a merge. But you know that everyone on that road at rush hour is doing it every single night. So they know when they see the big long line. They know why the line is there. They decide to come along on the right, pass a very, very long line of cars, maybe 50 to 100 cars.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, there they are in the front of the line.
So what have you done?
So there I was. I got to the merge point. And there's this yuppie guy in his BMW with suspenders.
5 Series.
And we're neck and neck here. And he keeps trying to get into the line. It was summertime, so I had my top down. And he had his window open.
Oh, you were able to gesture more freely.
And he said, no, we could speak. Because there were, the traffic was moving at a half a mile an hour. But every time it moved, I made sure I was a gnat's eyebrow away from the guy in front of me.
Uh-huh.
So this guy couldn't get in. And he said, hey, we're supposed to be merging. I said, like heck. Because you saw 100 cars in front of you, and you decided you were going to buck the line. So you can get in somewhere else, but you ain't getting in front of me.
No, and the truth is, aggressive drivers will always catch someone dozing.
Exactly.
Or dialing his cell phone.
That's right.
So they shouldn't worry about getting in front of you. They're going to get in front of somebody and ahead of the spot where they should be.
Yeah, but so, see, as I said, the reason I've given this thought is he wasn't doing anything illegal. He was, however, doing something immoral, unless he had out-of-state plates and never came off of this exit before, which I knew wasn't true. So
how could you know that? You were never behind them.
Because I had the out-of-state plates.
Oh, okay. So there you go, Brian.
So
that's my
opinion on the matter, Brian. I don't think you should do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but
efficiency is not the issue. Morality is the issue.
Right.
And I think we should get out and beat up the guys who try to sneak in the line.
I think so, too.
Thanks for calling, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Brian.
Bye.
All right. I think it's time for us to...
Yeah, I know. Take a little break.
Wow, you're actually getting the hang of this timing thing. And it's been only like 25 years.
Well,
That's good.
Not really. I mean, I saw a producer, Dougie, make that sign. You know, that spiral motion with his hand. That means wrap it up, right?
No. Not when he does it next to his head like that. That means your brother's really whacked out today.
No, that can't be right. I see him do that every week.
Yeah, well, think about that. We'll be right back with more of your calls in just a minute, so don't go anywhere.
I won't.
Well, I can remember way back in the day, we used to love to drive out west. The roads were long, girls were cool, we took the highway, that's the best. Cars and the bars and the sand and the stars, you know, I won't soon forget. Lord knows those days are gone. Well, the neon signs and the long white lines are all gone, gone, gone. Greasy spoons and all-night saloons are gone. Oh, no, 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 no. Now they got that freeway, honey, but it don't feel free to me. You could drive all day, but still ain't nothing to see.
And even though kids ask their parents why there's no fast-forward button on the radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from SimpliSafe Home Security, the smart way to protect your home and family. SimpliSafe is award-winning home security that provides around-the-clock protection and is built by top engineers in the country. You can rest easy knowing your Sleepy LaBeef collection and Ginsu knife set are safe. There are no long-term contracts, so you're never locked in. Try it out, enjoy a 10% discount, and show support for Car Talk by visiting simplisafe.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and ABS. Aberrant Behavior Syndrome.
Yeah. This is Aberrant Behavior. It's from G. Lee Burnett in Stokesdale, North Carolina. Dear Tom and Ray, I have a problem that perplexes me, and I hope you all can help me. My wife, Teresa, is an avid listener of your show. She refuses to miss even an hour of Car Talk and rearranges her weekend to hear it. She is a lovely and intelligent, but as you can tell, an easily entertained woman. I've always been proud of the fact that my wife's language skills are quite above average. However, and this is where the problem is revealed, the minute your show comes on, the trash that comes out of her mouth after she hears you speak would make a sailor blush. I don't even want to think what it would do to her mother. Here is just a sampling of some of her expletives. Those boneheads. What in the blank are those knuckleheads talking about? What kind of a moron would take that advice? What in the blankety blank does he know about haircuts and cream rinse? And then a couple of things which it means something nasty in Polish. You can see why I'm worried. Teresa's language drops to a sub-intelligible level, but she returns to her old self after a few hours of recovery.
Really?
She loves you both, and God forbid someone should slander you besides herself. Please advise me on what to do. Wow.
Jeez.
Worried husband in Stokesdale.
You have a street address?
Yes, I do. But I'm not going to. You want a phone number?
Well, no, I don't think. I think. This is a, what do you call it? A catharsis.
Ah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure, she needs to do this. It's like having nightmares about your wife pushing you off the cliff in the wheelchair. You have those all the time, don't you? She gives you 4 or 5 dope slaps. Adios, sucker. And you wake up clutching the bed sheets.
Waves the insurance policy at you as you're going over.
Yippee! I think she needs to do this to maintain her sanity.
Because actually, we may be doing her a great service, because it may well be that these are thoughts and feelings that she would otherwise vent on her poor husband, Teresa.
That's why we will continue to give incorrect answers and advice.
Because it will allow people to
vent. As long as we can prevail.
Exactly. We are saving the world.
We are dedicated. Humanitarians that we are. All right.
Wait a minute. It's time to start a church. Then everything could be tax deductible.
All right, it's time for the...
Actually, everything's tax deductible now. You don't pay, do you?
No, not... No.
You don't... Have you filed in the last 5 or 6 years?
What's that?
Filed your nails. Do you file your toenails?
No, I just cut them and throw them away.
Okay, well, that's the end of it. You've listened to another hour.
It just seemed like a half hour.
But, hey, by the way, do you know what's coming up in the third half of today's show? I can see the excitement on your face. I see it.
It's that obvious, huh?
Coming up in the third half of the show, my brother, my very own brother and co-host, is going to personally kick off the brand new Puzzler season.
Da, 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 da,
it's like a football season, except better, because the only one who gets knocked around is you.
I feel an inauspicious wind blowing. Well, stay tuned for the new Puzzler. And if you have a question about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rosemary in Seattle.
Rosemary.
Yeah, hi. Well, I have a 1987 Volkswagen Fox station wagon. And recently, there's been a kind of minor deviation in the way it's operating. And it has me wondering if this is just a little change, might be a portent of something like rapid decline in my overall car functioning.
Yeah. Good. I mean, well, no matter what it is, it's an excellent question already.
All right.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that people worry about. Something happens, and you say... Is this going to... Same thing happens with our bodies, right?
That's right.
You get something and you say, is this going to kill me in a week or will it just go away?
Right. Is that what happens when you look in the mirror in the morning?
Every day. My God, how can it get so bad?
And can it get worse?
Yeah, so what is happening, Rosemary?
Okay, what's happening is that when I'm making a left-hand turn, I turn on my left-hand turn signal. Mm-hmm. And I start to apply my brakes to slow down before I turn, of course, and the tempo on the turn signal starts to increase very rapidly. So, instead of just going blink, 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 it goes blink, 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 blink.
Yeah.
But as soon as I take my foot, off the brake pedal, the tempo resumes in its normal rate.
But it would do this even if you weren't turning. Is that correct? In other words, if you turn on the directional.
Yeah, but you know what? The reason why I'm mentioning this is because it doesn't happen when I turn the right turn signal on. So
right,
I only notice
right.
it.
But
it
doesn't,
it doesn't
require the turn. It just merely requires you turn on the left directional and step on the brake.
Exactly.
This is just as likely to happen in your driveway.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
Why do you have your directional lawn in your driveway?
She doesn't.
Okay.
Well, this is a portent, as you put it,
uh-oh,
of terrible things to come.
No.
No, hardly.
You're going to have to spend at least
a dollar
to fix this.
Okay.
Yeah, you have a bad bulb.
Well, no. Why would it? I looked at this. Now, if I don't put my brake on,
right,
it is operating normally. The bulb is flashing.
Both bulbs are flashing. You have three bulbs that are flashing.
Okay.
One in the car.
Right.
One on the, what is the left directional, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Left front.
Yeah.
And one on the left rear.
Right.
And if left.
Right.
No, left. So you said, have you ever gotten out to look?
Yeah.
To verify that they all work?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Now what you need is an assistant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have that assistant step on the brake pedal with the directional on, and you will notice.
All right.
That the one in the back stops flashing.
Why is the brake related to the directional signal?
Because they use the same bulb. They use the same bulb.
Do?
But the bulb has two filaments in it.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, have you ever replaced one of these bulbs?
No.
You're about to.
And what you'll find out is, you know how when you're screwing a light bulb at home, The way the light bulb looks is it's got the threads, and then at the mm-hmm. bottom, there's a little contact.
Yeah.
You ever noticed those?
Yeah.
Well, when you take out this bulb, you'll find there are two contacts.
Oh.
And no threads.
And no threads.
In fact, it doesn't resemble a home light bulb at all.
Right.
It's smaller.
Except for the little connect, the little, what did I call it just now?
Contact.
Contact. Mm-hmm. Because it has two. One is for the filament in there that operates from the directional signal, and one is for the filament that operates from the brake pedal.
Okay.
And that's why you need a new bulb for a buck.
Well,
how about
great.
That?
That's
Isn't
great.
That good news?
That's very good news.
Yeah.
Right. And when you open the trunk to replace it, you'll discover that it's all rotted out inside and
you'll
have to replace the car.
And you'll need a whole new thing.
Oh, no. Well, thanks a lot.
Good luck, Rosemary.
See you, Rosemary.
Bye-bye. Good luck getting it out. Hmm. Actually, you know, it could be the... I think there's a printed circuit board in the back that could be faulty. There's a printed circuit board that the bulbs plug into on Volkswagens. Could be that. If you're still... Rosemary! Well, if she puts the bulb in and it doesn't fix it, she'll say, those stupid. Which is what everyone says when
She might get Teresa syndrome. ABS.
Right.
Those boneheads. What in the blankety blank does he know about haircuts and cream rinse? Something nasty and Polish. One of those jerks talking about. She could get an attack of that.
ABS. She could have it.
I think we should name it after Teresa, though. We should name it after Teresa.
All right. We'll work on a name.
We'll work on a name for that.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on CAR-TALK.
T.S. Teresa Syndrome.
This is Rocky from Tucson, Arizona.
Rocky. How you doing, man?
Yeah, pretty good.
Now, what's your real name if they call you Rocky?
Michael. But Rockford's related in the middle.
Rockford. Of course. I mean, when he said Rocky, I said, whoa.
I mean, I've met several people named Rocky. I mean, nicknamed Rocky. But the real Rocky comes from Rocco. When was the last time you met someone named Rocco?
Rocco.
Wasn't in the brick business.
Well, I remember that a friend of ours went into the painting business with another guy and then called it Rocco and Jocko. Remember them? Yeah.
What's up, Rocky?
Well, I recently bought a 85 300ZX Turbo, a Nissan. Mm. And before that, I had a hard body. And in both my manuals, because I was really bored the other night and had nothing to do, I actually read the operator's manual. And under the part where it says all the wonderful things about the catalytic converter that was such a big deal in 1985,
yeah,
it announces that it says, keep an eye on your fuel gauge. Running out of gas will damage the catalytic converter. Now, I sat and thought about this for a while and couldn't figure out why. Is this along the same lines as parking your car in the parking lot will damage the catalytic converter? Because if you run out of gas, the car will not be running, or so I would think.
Yeah.
That happens to me every time I run out of gas.
Yes.
I would think so, too. That's what it really said, huh?
Yes, it says it will damage the catalytic converter. When nothing's going through it.
Well, I mean, what they may mean is not that it will damage it when you have no gas, but when you then try to restart it by filling it with gas.
Well,
nay. That's a... You know what we need here? We need the British historian James Burke. You ever watch James Burke Connections?
Burke,
no.
Yes. The day the Earth changed.
Universe.
Universe. The whole, whole
yeah,
universe.
Yeah, a bigger view of things.
Bigger view, yeah.
But, no, Burke does this stuff where he has a bunch of books and a TV show called Connections where he figures out how things relate to one another.
Yeah.
How events in history have changed history because certain things happen, this inexorable chain of events.
Yeah.
And this is we're going to figure it out right here for you right now, Rocky,
yeah,
on the fly.
Yeah, because in 1985, what was different about catalytic converters than now? And what kind of, oh, this is a
300ZX.
Right, and it says it has a tri-system catalytic converter.
Yeah, it has a three-way catalytic converter, which
right.
is whatever.
So does everyone.
Every car has that.
Oh, I was thinking that, like, gee, since this car was like 30 grand when it was new, that this was like a big deal. But even my truck had one of those.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed now.
Well, they only had it because the law said they had to.
It's such a high technology car.
Yeah. Gee, I haven't any idea.
Okay,
now,
so
it says in the fuel section, do not try to start the car without fuel in the system because it will damage the fuel pump.
Well, yes, and as a matter
Which
of fact...
I can understand
I can
why.
I understand that.
It will damage the fuel pump, but how in the world it can damage the catalytic converter is beyond me.
I tried calling the techni-weenies at my local Nissan dealer, and they didn't know
either. Here it is. Here it is.
Because what
Here
happens
it
is you try to start
Here it is.
And it's out of fuel.
Here it is.
Go, man.
Here it is.
Think about it. You
I thought
the
about it. You turn about it. You try to start it. Wah, 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 wah.
What
There's
happens?
No fuel.
No fuel.
What you're doing, however, is pumping air
into
the
catalytic
converter.
Right.
Okay? Which is already hot because the car was just running because you just ran out of gas.
Right.
Right? And this infusion of air will actually
Sets the thing on fire.
Melt the converter.
Oh, well.
Whatever residual vapors are in there that are being converted.
So air.
Whatever religion.
Let me get this right now. Air melts things.
Well, no.
Ooh,
that's
so
why. Is that why when I open the refrigerator and
the ice
cubes, they melt? Because there's no air inside the freezer.
Well, they're figuring that somebody. I think what they're figuring is the average bonehead that owns the Turbo ZX. Is going to run out of gas and not realize it and just sit there
crank.
Wah, 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 and keep injecting air into the catalytic converter.
I'm with you.
And that air is somehow going to cause the converter temperature to rise because don't forget, there's no combusted material here except the air that's this. Boy, this is. I mean,
even you can't finish it, right?
I can't finish it, but it
but no,
sounded
I think,
so.
Well, I mean.
And it has something to do with trolley cars
See, now,
in Brooklyn. I can't figure out the whole connection.
That just goes to show you how much faster I think than you do. See,
no,
I was
that's because I was spending my time explaining it. You were sitting there.
No, I mean, I came to the same conclusion that you're pumping air into the catalytic converter. I couldn't go anywhere with that. I said, so what?
Isn't
I said to myself,
air
so
in
I there? Shut up. You, on the other hand, figured that by the time you got to that point in the story, you would have figured out.
No, I was doing it on the fly.
Exactly. You would have figured out why air melts things.
No, I think the oxygen present is super combusting, is making the catalytic converter work more efficiently than it would ordinarily work with pre-combusted fuel in it. Don't forget. When the stream of stuff that goes through the converter has already been, for the most part, combusted in the cylinders.
Yeah.
Right.
And whatever is remaining in there, and there is residual stuff in there, is now getting a full shot of oxygen, and that's going to melt the converter.
Hmm.
I'm convinced of it. Rocky, you can take that
to the bank.
Well, I'll take it to the dealer and say, I'm smarter than you now. I know.
Well, I wouldn't burst any buttons on my vest when you explain it.
Well, I mean, I like it. I have to admit that as wacko as it may sound, I like it.
It is the only possible explanation.
Well, the only possible explanation is that something happens.
Figure out.
Something happens when you pump air into a hot catalytic converter. That's what that's.
Yeah, and you damage it. We know
that.
They told
that
in the book.
That would fall along the lines with not knowing that you ran out of gas and keep pumping the thing because
right.
I have three gauges and a talking lady that tells me when I'm out of gas.
Yes.
So.
Right, you ran out of gas, stupid. Again. Good luck, Rocky.
Thanks, Rocky.
Let us know how much they laugh when you explain this to them.
Yeah, or if they throw me out.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's time to take a short break, and when we come back, we will have
yeah.
the opening puzzler of the new fall puzzler season.
Wow, can I throw out the first ball, man?
Yeah, sure. We'll be back in a minute.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. This is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was the cat was driving that Model A. Well, it's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup. Got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive. It just won't stall. Got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust. 4 11 gears and really get lost. Got safety tubes, and I'm not scared. The brakes are good, and the tires are fair. We left San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars are shining bright. Everything went fine at the Grapevine Hill. We was passing cars like it was standing still. All of a sudden, like a flick of an eye, a Cadillac sedan had passed us by. A remark was made to the car for me, but by then the taillights were all you could see. Fellas ripped me for being behind, so I started to make that Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it down to overdrive. Well, I wound it up to 110, Swiss speedometer cable off the end. Had my foot peeped through to the floor, said that's all there is, and there ain't no more.
And even though Tom Jelton books a week-long immersion at Swamiji's Yoga Palace, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, thanks for suffering through this episode of Car Talk. And you probably know my brother and I have always been the poster children for mail answer syndrome. That is, giving an answer and making it sound absolutely definitive, whether you know what we're talking about or not. Mostly not, of course. But NPR also has a podcast where two very funny guys from the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me staff try to get real answers about stuff. It's Mike and Ian on How to Do Everything. It's worth a listen. Check out How to Do Everything now at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from Trunk Club, a clothing service that's changing the way men shop. With Trunk Club, you'll be connected with a dedicated personal stylist, a real person who's been trained in the complexities of fit and body type to find the best clothes to match your style, budget, and existing wardrobe. And in my case, talk you out of matching that striped shirt with plaid pants and a white belt. The clothes will be shipped straight to your door, and you'll have 10 days to decide which items you'd like to keep or send back. And anytime you need a new trunk, just call, text, or email your stylist at trunkclub.com/cartalk. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, believe it or not, the new puzzle.
Will it be automotive? Will it be folkloric? Will it be sophomoric? I can hardly wait, man.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
As
go ahead. Will it be bogus?
It may be. As is often the case. I mean, we've obviously been on vacation from the puzzler.
Oh.
I mean, it has have all of our listeners.
Yeah.
You know. So all of our listeners have had a chance to kind of forget about it. And as such, you tend to lose your focus, you know. So you're not really ready for the challenge that most puzzlers present.
Oh, this is a preface. I can see it coming. So you're going to start with something really simple to get us back into the swing of it. It's warm-up time, right?
Well,
you're just out there.
I mean, I have at my
throwing
fingertips
a couple of pitches
seven
in.
Or eight or ten puzzles that I could just, you know, do right now.
Yeah.
I can't remember nine of them, so I'm going to do the one I can remember. Well, it turns out that there's a high school election, the senior class president.
Yeah.
And there are three guys running for president.
Walt, Curly, and Larry?
Tom, Tad, and Tim. And as luck would have it, after all the votes are counted, they each have exactly the same number of votes. One. Whatever.
Yeah.
So the principal calls them into his office. What did I say? I said Tom.
Tom, Tad, and Tim.
Tad and Tim. The yeah. principal calls him into his office. He says, look, guys, we could have another election, but there's a good chance that the count is going to come out the same. So if it's all the same to you, mm-hmm. I would just as soon try to decide this right now.
Yeah.
And he says, look, we'll just throw each of your names into a hat, and I'll pull out a name, and that'll be the winner. Is that all right with you guys? And they all agree. So he takes a clean sheet of paper, white, you know, regular white paper off of his desk.
8.5 by 11?
8.5 by 11. He folds it into thirds, you know, this is easy to do.
Sure.
And then holding the paper on the edge of the sharp edge of the desk, he tears the paper in so it's three pieces that are exactly the same size.
Got it.
So he hands them each a blank piece of paper, and he says, write your name on this, and they each do is instructed, and each of them throws his name in the hat. Mm-hmm. He says, just to make sure, guys, that it's on the up and up, you can blindfold me, and I'm going to hold the hat above my head, and I'm going to reach in and pull out the winner's name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the principal wants Tad to win because the other two kids are knuckleheads, and he thinks, if either one of these kids becomes president, the school is going down, and I'm going to lose my job. So the question is, how does the principal fix it so Tad wins?
Shh.
How does he do it?
I know.
Well, of course you know.
Yeah.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a postcard.
This is really simple.
I know it is. But a lot of people won't get it.
I hope so.
Or on the underside of a solid ash mission-style bedroom suite and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. Mm. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else in the universe, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Cole from beautiful Charlestown, West Virginia.
Is that K-O-H-L? Charlestown, West Virginia?
Yes, indeed.
No kidding.
Anyway, I have a 92 Geo Storm, and...
What made you buy that car? Do you wake up in the night saying, what was I thinking?
Well, the worst of that is I bought it used, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Two marks against me.
Two marks against you. All right. I'm
well,
sorry.
Three. I still have it.
I shouldn't have started the conversation on a negative note like that. No. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to replace the rotors. I've got two rotors,
mm-hmm.
and I can't figure out for the life of me how the other old ones come off.
Well, they don't. They have rotors for life. Unfortunately, on this car, you must destroy the wheel bearings to get the rotors off. And you're going to say, how could they be so stupid?
What were they thinking, you might say.
And if I'm not mistaken, in order to get this off, you have to remove what's called the entire steering knuckle, okay, which is the part that holds the hub,
yep.
and the disc rotor, and the axle passes through the middle of this thing. If
yep.
you know, there's a big nut that holds the axle.
There's a big nut with a crimp in it into a groove.
Yeah, the big nut's working on the car. Okay, so you take the crimp, you undo the crimp, you take that nut off, and then you unbolt the steering knuckle. It bolts to the strut and into the ball joint, into the tie rod end, and you now take this whole thing out.
Right.
Now, you don't know what to do with that. So,
well, I guess I should have listened to the book when it said refer service to authorized personnel.
Mm. Well, you could take this to a machine shop.
Yeah.
And with the bearings in a little brown paper bag, and the disc rotors under your arm, and the two steering knuckles dragging behind you, you could show it. You're going to have to take a cab because your car's not going to run anymore. You'll show up with all these pieces, and you say,
take this apart for me.
And fit the new bearings to it, and I'll be back in a week. You need a press to do this, and you don't have a press.
No, I just have two new rotors. So
I like the machine shop idea. I mean, there must be a machine shop around someplace, an auto machine shop that has a press and can do this for you.
I mean, the truth is, a lot of gas stations can do this too. Anyone that has a press can do the job.
Yeah, and right. it's no embarrassment. It's not a disgrace. To have to take it to the machine shop.
Yeah, but you don't have to have your wife take them in or anything. That's what guys do when they're embarrassed.
This is a common practice. Even some shops that don't have a press would take it to the machine shop and have them do it. So it's a perfectly respectable thing for a guy to do.
Well, the unrespectable thing was buying the car to start with, probably.
I didn't want to bring that up.
Yeah, we won't go there.
But it's been good otherwise. That's...
Sure, Cole. Whatever you say.
So you got the picture? Take the whole thing down to the machine shop. They'll put it all back together, take it apart, put it all back together, and then you come back and stick it back on and you're
all set. And your part of the job, aside from paying for it, is like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a couple of bolts.
Right.
Good luck, Cole.
Thank you much.
See you. Bye-bye.
The machine shop will do that in 15 minutes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's always sad when you have the parts and you then look at the thing and you say, oh.
That's not quite what you say, but it sounds like that. It starts with aw. Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to dance naked under the harvest moon?
I hope not. No, it's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we track down a caller from a previous show to see if they went away happy.
Or if they just went away, period. Who's our lucky player this week?
It's Sarah from Montvale, New Jersey. Do you have any recollection whatsoever of Sarah?
I don't think so.
Sarah called us a few months ago because she had made the mistake of going away for the weekend and leaving her husband in charge of her two boys. When she got back, both the house and the car smelled awful, and none of the boys were talking.
So I cleaned the car, I cleaned the booster seat, and my four-year-old and I are spraying Febreze on all the upholstered furniture, and I took it to the car wash, and they sprayed some big jar of lemon stuff in there.
Yeah.
And the inside is now much better, but when you turn the car on and put on either the vent with the air or the AC, it's like urine air. It's horrible, and I need you to help
so you
me.
Think they had like a peeing contest in the car? Go ahead. You first. No, no. You first. Ma's going to kill us. Sorry. Ma's
she'll
away. She
know.
Won't know.
Dad
one...
likes it. Dad
I
won't
care.
Dad can't smell anything.
I know. No one's admitting anything.
They would have had to have been hanging by their feet from a tree under which your car was parked and peeing into the vents. Do you think they could have done that?
Do you have a sunroof?
No.
Oh, they couldn't have done it. Hey, someone had to side with the guys, you know?
Well, what did we give her as an answer?
I think we said that what she was smelling was not pee, but mold spores in the air conditioning.
Oh, I think I remember that. Yeah, okay, let's see how we did. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that industrial strength stick of incense that we sent.
No, it has not been influenced.
All right. Now, with all that behind us, was it mold in the AC vents?
It was.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it had to be that or the peeing contest.
Yeah.
So how did you determine this?
Cleaned it up anyway.
Have you fixed it?
I did. I couldn't buy Frigifresh, but I used Lysol, and it took care of it.
Yeah, Lysol will do it. It's a little. You need to use a little more of it, but it does kill mold spores. It also, we didn't warn you, kills brain cells.
You did warn me.
Well, we did.
You did, and that's why I didn't do anything at first.
So your husband and the boys were completely innocent.
Yes.
Of that. What else did they do that you don't want to tell us about?
Oh, I don't have enough time.
You know?
But it's interesting that you immediately focused on the boys.
Oh, well, yeah, but you'd have to.
You don't know them.
Yeah, we know them. Yeah.
No. They're boys, right?
But, you know, the thing is, though, about that, they were innocent. But isn't it peculiar that no one could smell that smell but me?
No, women have a much better sense of smell than men, I think.
In general. Well, you know why? Men are used to the locker room aroma.
And they don't even notice
and
it
And once
anymore.
You've been exposed to that, it pretty much wipes out your...
whatever olfactory nerves you may have started out
exactly.
with.
Exactly. I mean, if you can take that, nothing smells
this
after
is,
that.
By the way, this is just another way in which women are far superior to men.
Oh, stop, will you please? That's a little transparent, wouldn't you say?
I would have to agree with you.
I'm just trying to get off the hook here. I got so many women mad at me.
Yeah, well, you better just lay low and keep your mouth shut. Sarah, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps. We'll see you later.
All right, thank you.
And if you should hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or call right now and stump us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi. This is Bill from the Homer Spit in Homer, Alaska.
Bill from Homer, Alaska.
Yep.
How you doing?
Just great.
You said Homer Spit?
Homer Spit. You know, this is as far as you can drive in North America. If you ever wondered if you were going to drive west, as far as you could drive west and northwest, you'd end up on the Homer Spit.
And why would I want to do that? I mean, give me
wanted to see where Western civilization ends. You know?
I wanted to go to the point from which I couldn't return unless I turned around and went back the way I came.
We're at latitude 59, and that's as far as you can drive.
Wow.
59.
And what?
59
Do we dare
latitude.
Ask Bill, what is he doing there?
Well, I have a problem here. You know, like, I'm on the Homer Spit, and it's hard to get people to come work, and we do a lot of fish. We upload halibut for the Boston and New York and everywhere.
Ah,
he's feeding us.
Yeah, and I have this forklift. You know, it's been working. It works great. The 64 Clark
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Clark forklift.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, it's got like a, I think it's got a flathead Willys engine in it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
really?
It's got a four-cylinder flathead engine in it.
Wow.
So what's wrong with it now?
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, like I said, it start, you know, it always starts and runs and everything like that, but at this time of year, like, it's starting to rain more. And so when it gets wet out, it's really hard to start. You know, it's like you got to keep turning it over. I walk away for 15 minutes, and then it turn it over some more, walk away, and then eventually it'll start. You know, one cylinder will go, you know, and then eventually it takes off, you know.
Yeah, when was the last time you changed the points?
The points, like about 2 years ago.
2 years? How much do you run this thing?
Oh, every day.
Every day?
For
a couple hours a day.
Yeah.
And you haven't replaced the points for 2 years?
Yeah.
Well, they're on order.
Oh, there we go. The points. Okay, cool.
Well, I would think the points and the condenser.
Condenser, cool.
Yeah, I would start with those two things.
Well, I mean, it's got to need everything. If you've run it that long, it's going to need points, condenser, rotor, cap, wires, the whole thing.
I mean, when the points are burned up, like yours probably are.
Yeah.
Under ideal conditions, you need the very smallest of sparks to get the thing to run. You turn the key and boom.
Yeah.
On a bright sunny day, it fires right up and you say, boy,
yeah,
all is right with the world.
You got it.
And the fish are like jumping onto the thing.
You got it.
And the cotton is high.
Yeah, that's the way I love it. That's me. That's me.
But when it's damp out, you're losing a lot of the spark to the bad wires that you undoubtedly have too. So as the electricity travels from the distributor to the spark plugs, what's happening is some of it is jumping off to, you know, God knows where. So you're getting a weaker spark at the cylinders.
Uh-huh.
So I would suggest that you change the points of condenser. If you can get your hands on a set of spark plug wires, you may want to change them too.
I'm going to do the whole thing there.
I would do the whole thing.
I would splurge. I mean, don't forget, your very life depends on this thing, Bill. Without this, you're done for.
And, oh, I know the whole thing—the food chain, the boats, there, everybody.
Yeah, we'll go to Legal Seafood, and they're gonna give us beans.
Oh, they'll feed you good there.
Well, they won't if they don't have any fish. So catch those fish and fix this thing, will you? Get out right on it.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks
Anytime.
For your call.
Anytime, send us Bye-bye. A card.
Well, you got it. I'll bring it with me. I'll come in there in March. I'll bring one with me.
All right. Just put a stamp on it and mail it to us.
All right.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've eviscerated another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, punkin' lips, frogman, Berman. Boy, he's had a checkered past.
Has he, though?
Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Daw Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Liechtenstein, pickled brine, roasted swine, apple wine, and Madeline, Do or Dine is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. No. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Autovindo. Our Greek driving instructor is Justis Miros. Our downsizing consultant is Candace Guy.
Candace Guy.
Our table saw operator is Les.
I like Les.
Les Digits. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
He's been with us a while.
Indeed. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the angry vegetarians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1538, download other aberrant behavior-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, the Mechanics Files, our humongous database of mechanics all over the country who have been recommended by other visitors to our website.
Hey, have you entered any mechanics who you happen to know, I mean, whose work you can vouch for? Someone maybe that you grew up with, someone who taught you the ropes, Someone who's always been like a superb older brother to you?
Sorry, I don't know how to spell your last name.
Get out! Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.